So how's your constitution? How's the document you're working on? Gotten a lot more names?
Yeah, right now I have about 62 names.
Wow, nice.
Still waiting on. There's a few that I need, the major headliners that signed the original document that I had in Tulsa.
Yeah.
The problem with that was I wasn't in the green room at the time. And they started signing it all over the document like a baseball autograph. I mean, little hearts and fishes and whatever. It's like, no, that's not what I need. I need them in the actual signature area. So I framed that actual original document and gave it back to Clay. So he's got that document. So now I need to, like one of them, I think was General Flynn. He signed the original one and he did a good job, but I needed his signature on this final version. So one of the lessons I learned was to have them sign on a blank area and then transfer that electronically. Because if somebody messes up, because I have them actually use a quill pen.
Yeah.
Most people haven't used a feather quill pen before.
Yeah.
So when they do that, it takes a little practice. And if they messed up on the document, well, that would be a big problem. I am digitally transferring that onto the document. And that allows us then for positioning. Because for example, I had Clay in the singer in the main area in the center. And he's like, oh no, I don't put me down low. I don't want to be a well, hopefully I'll get General Flynn. And then I was asked by another conservative group that is a very patriotic group. And they found out what I was doing. They weren't at the Reawaken, far as I know, but somehow they found out about it. And they asked me if I could do the same thing for their members. And this was literally two nights before I had another visitation, I guess, from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was asking me, why was I so worried about the funds I needed to generate for the Chosen? Mm-hmm. I was like, well, it's a big number. You know, I'm supposed to generate $20 million. That's a lot of money. And he asked me, why do you think so small? And I was just, small? What are you talking about? And then Pastor Greg Locke was sitting next to me at the San Antonio event. I've never met him before. And he put his hand on my shoulder before I said anything. I was dressed like this, but before I said anything, he looked at me and said, you're supposed to generate $100 million. I was like, I haven't even told my wife that.
Wow.
Yet.
Yeah.
So anyway, this conservative group that reached out to me, they asked if they could do the same thing for their local chapters. And I said, I suppose I could. You know, how many members do you have? Oh, we have 5 million.
Wow.
5 million members? Well, these documents, the legal size goes for about $110 shipped and everything. The full size one, the 2x3 foot, goes for $175. I was like, okay, Lord, I see what you mean. I was like, don't question. I don't put him in a box, you know.
Yeah.
Don't do that. So I'm learning a lot of lessons on that.
Oh, yeah. I know. It's like we try to bring God into the little box that like our universe and our world and we're in. And we're like he cares about the box. He's involved with the box, but he ain't in the box. He created the box and everything in it. But it's like we still, I know it's still our finite human minds.
Yeah. He's telling me that's a real cute box. I'm not going to be in it, but it's cute.
Exactly.
So don't limit him. So even when I'm praying, I've been, I looked at Gary Cassie's, he has a Financial Revolution book, and he teaches you in that book to pray with expectation instead of praying with a wish list. And it's kind of based on Mark 11:24, you know, whatever you pray for and believe you received it, it shall be yours. It doesn't say can or could or might, it says shall. But there's a difference when you really commit to something and you do that. So he has a process you go through where you pray with your wife, over whatever it is, you write it down, pray for with your wife, sow a seed to your church or charity. And, it's amazing how often, whatever you did, whatever you prayed for and you believe you received it, it is yours. And I had a hard time believing that until I tried it and, it works.
We've, as Christians, have forgotten how powerful prayer is. I mean, biblically speaking, look at all like our brothers and sisters back thousands of years ago who like prayed and what happened just because they prayed. I'm like, we've forgotten how powerful that is.
Well, a lot of people don't think miracles happen anymore. It's like, yes, they do. They happen every day. You have to just be aware and attuned to it. And if you find your quiet place and pray about that, it's amazing what can happen. I mean, right now, our church, Remnant, we're praying very specifically around the mask at airports and also some of the mandates that are coming down the pipeline. So we're very targeted prayers for a very short period of time, but very concentrated. And so I totally believe what we're praying for will happen. You know, it's already happened. We just haven't seen it yet, but it will happen.
Yeah, I know. Because this whole thing with COVID and the vaccines and the Omicron and everything, it's like God is not a God of like the spirit of fear. It's not in Christians. I mean, it's not fear is of Satan. Like the sense of like being fearful. Now fear in the sense of reverence, obviously, yes, but it's like the fear in the set, like to God, but fear in the sense of like being afraid of everything. I'm like, no, that's not of God. That's of Satan. And we're seeing that. Yeah.
And there's a whole thing I've been studying lately on, you know, why has common sense died? And this ties into the Constitution, what we're doing. What happened? Well, you know, half the population now has no common sense. Like, so wait a minute. I got two jabs. And now I have to get a third one because the first two didn't really work well. But if I get a third one, it should be better. But the fourth one is even better than that. And the fifth and sixth one will pretty much take care of it. But there'll be a seventh, eighth, and ninth, and tenth one too. It's like, when does it end? So that's when I thought about common sense. It's like it's ended. But that's when I've been looking at that and studying that. And what I figured out was, the liberals tend to make an emotional connection. Mm-hmm. Now, if you make an emotional connection with something, it doesn't matter. And this is where the right, where we have trouble with this. It doesn't matter what facts you come up with, what proof, what evidence, what truth you show them. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If they have an emotional connection, you can't change their mind, period. Yeah. So that's where the right needs to learn from the left, because you can do the same thing with an emotional connection on the right. You can make an emotional connection with something for the good, because they tend to do it for the evil. But for example, there's a anti-abortion group called Project Ultrasound. Now, what they're doing is they are giving women a free ultrasound. When women hear the heartbeat, 70% of the time, they have the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, now they've made the emotional connection. So we're not lying to them. And that's just it with the left. It doesn't matter if they if they lie about facts, or lie about whatever the issue is. Again, to them, it doesn't matter because you make the emotional connection. Now, on the right, hopefully we deal with truth.
Yeah.
But we still have to make that emotional connection. Mm-hmm. If we just hit them with facts and figures, it goes over their head.
Yeah.
They don't think about it.
Yep.
So we have to understand that. So the left has done an amazingly good job of like titling bills, the CARES Act. It's always about saving the children or whatever. Infrastructure. It's like, well, wait a minute. Yeah, the bill has very little to do with infrastructure. Oh, but it's got a catchy title. So that's where the right needs to learn from the left, is how do they title things?
Yeah.
But that's where I really think, if we can make that emotional connection with people, because right now we are giving up inalienable rights are forgiven from God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, those are our rights.
Yeah.
But we can only lose those rights if we voluntarily give them up.
Exactly.
And we are. Many of the population right now is giving up their basic inalienable rights. Now, to get those rights back, it's going to require bloodshed. And that's the last thing we want.
Yeah.
We don't want bloodshed.
Yeah.
But if you want those rights back, it will require blood, period. It always has. It always will. Yeah. I would like to avoid that. That's my warning.
Yeah.
A couple of things. Warning on the right side. And then on the God side of things, right now, God gave us free choice. So we can choose to serve the Lord, or we can choose to serve Satan.
Yeah.
We're going to serve one of those two.
Yeah.
Right now, we have the free choice. In the near future, we are not going to have a free choice. Our choice will have been made. And if you choose wrong, or if you don't choose, you choose wrong. Get right with God now, period.
Exactly.
So that's really my warning. It's time to get right with God right now. I mean, the days are ticking off. The time, we are in the end times. So, you know, choose who you're going to serve, because it's going to be eternity somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'd rather be in a good place.
I know. Yeah. And that's, as Christians, spreading, like telling people about salvation, it's like, you know, eternity is a long time. Like, we can't even fathom forever. And I think, and that's why as Christians, it's like, we should be excited to share like the good news of Jesus Christ with everybody around us and stuff. But it's so sad to see so many of the churches in America, like today, and the pastors, and we've got a few good ones, like you were saying, like Pastor Greg Locke, like Pastor Archer Pulowski and stuff, and some other good ones, but it's like a lot of them have just given into this fear narrative of COVID, and they're preaching like from the pulpits, like get vaccinated, wear your mask. And I'm like, what in the Sam Hill is going on here?
And they're closing their churches, and they're about to start that again. They're going to, the next wave we're in right now, you'll see churches close again. It's like, so leave your sheep, you know, lead them.
Exactly.
Yeah. I get very frustrated. So this Great Awakening, which the Reawakened Tour is part of, but the Great Awakening, unlike previous awakenings that this country's gone through, or the world's gone through, this one will not be led by the church. The church, parts of it will be involved, but it'll be led by business leaders.
Yeah.
People like Clay Clark. That's who's going to be doing, bringing the word to the people, and they'll believe in them where they've so much. I mean, right now, we don't trust politicians. We don't trust doctors. We don't trust scientists. I mean, we don't trust the police, which we should. We don't trust judges. What do we have faith in? Well, hopefully God still.
Yeah. You know,
that's where it starts.
Yeah.
But again, if you've made emotional connection with the dark side, it doesn't matter. And it's sad realization when you realize we can't save everybody.
That's true. Because everybody has free will. And broad is the path that many people will take that leads straight to hell, but it's like, it's the easy road. And so that's the way a lot of people take, and God's given them the free will to choose that path.
Mm-hmm. And so many times you choose wrong.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, what we're trying to do with, the dream that I got from the Holy Spirit was to take this constitution, which I don't know, I can show you as a quick sample of it. I don't know if you can see that
I can see it. Yeah. Oh, it looks so cool.
And it actually tells the story visually as you go through it. When you see that, and when you see it full size, well, we're going to offer it in two versions. It's a kind of a ledger size, and then a 2 foot by 3 foot size, which is absolutely beautiful. When you see it printed out and it comes on parchment paper, it's a gorgeous document that you would love to have in your office, in your living room, and you know, wherever your place of business. I mean, it is a beautiful document. Now we're going to send it out in little mail tubes, but I'm working with the Hobby Lobby to see if they'll give us a discount for anybody that wants to go there to get it framed, because we won't do the framing. There's a lot of choices, but use Hobby Lobby, and if we can send a quarter million people to Hobby Lobby, I think that would be great.
Great business for them too, because they're a good Christian-owned business too, and they've stood up against the leftist lunatics too, like on this stuff, whether it's like pro-life stuff and all that. Because that's when I know Hobby Lobby, I think, has been attacked over, particularly like with their pro-life stance and stuff, and then all the leftists coming at them, and it's just evil people. But
looking at if I can generate $20 million to take care of season 4 of The Chosen, which is trying to reach a billion people, it's like, I think that's a good use of time. If we can help them do that. I love the series. It's a great series. Just saw the Christmas special. Beautiful. You know, and I'm seeing so many people right now are looking at Christ for the first time, even, or they're coming back. You know, they haven't, they pulled away 20, 30 years ago, and now they're coming back, which is great.
Yeah.
Serve the Lord. So that's kind of my mission. And so even the Holy Spirit told me to form a company. I was like, because I was retired, not on my own request, but more of a medical reason. So he gave me this idea to start a company. I was like, what's this company going to do? I had no idea. So I formed a company, a Samuel's Mission. And what are we going to do? I have no clue. But that company isn't there, you know, and now we're connecting. When I met Mr. Cook from the Black Road Regiment, I looked at him and I was like, I'm supposed to introduce you to a couple thousand preachers. Yeah. I have no idea where they're going to come from, but I'm sending them this way. Whenever I run across preachers that aren't doing this, that aren't standing up for the rights for their flock, it's like, you need to do that. And if you're not doing that, you're not serving your flock. Period. So get on board while you can. That's it.
Yeah. Have you come up with a name for, are you going to do Samuel's Mission as the name of like the business, like that's going to sell the constitutions, or are you coming up with a new name for it? Okay.
Well, it's all supposed to be under Samuel's Mission. So even my outfit,
Paul Revere.
That was part of the Holy Spirit for the Tampa conference. I was like, I don't want to chase these national speakers down. You know, I'm going to be in the green room. Clay was nice enough to give me access to the green room. I don't want to chase them down. And the Holy Spirit showed me this outfit and I was like, okay, what's plan B? and I really don't like plan A. I'm not that type of person. But in Tampa, I wore this outfit and I'm just walking to the main tent they had set up. While just walking there, I was maybe 200 yards away. And it was literally every couple of feet, put my books down, take a photo with a couple or somebody, an individual. You know, they would ask me, next one, another one, another photo. Yeah. It took me 25 minutes to get 200 yards. It was fun, but it was like being Mickey Mouse at Disneyland, you know.
Everybody sees you and wants to get a picture.
When I was in the green room, all the speakers approached me. I mean, again, who am I? That's all I kept thinking. Who am I? And finally, I got a word the other day, you know, well, you're the Son of God. You know, you are the Son of the Most High. So these speakers are approaching me, and which is, thank the Holy Spirit, because it sure wasn't my idea. You know, I would have never done this. I mean, I didn't even wear Halloween costumes. You know, I've never done that. I just don't get into that. I'm not that type of person. No, I'm not an introvert, but I'm sure not, you know,
an extrovert. I know. It's like the Lord loves to put us outside of our comfort zones because that's the only way we grow. If we're inside of it, it's like, we're okay, but we're not really growing and stuff. And he's like, okay, you need to come out of it. And we're like, no, we like our comfort zone.
This is not a comfort zone. Well, in San Antonio, I was talking to Amanda Grace. And they wanted to do some photos of us. And so I was talking to her. And right before they took the photo, Amanda looks at me and she says, I can't believe what my stylist made me wear today. So I started laughing in the photo. I'm laughing my head off. After the photo, I look at her and I go, tell me about it.
I know, it's like, talk to the hand, like, look here.
Yeah, look here. And then she started laughing, but that wasn't in the photo, you know. So she's got a great photo. I'm laughing in the photo, you know.
Well, when you're laughing, like the candid photos is usually the best one. Paul Revere laughing, I'm like, that'd be a cool photo. Like Paul Revere over there laughing.
They sent it to me, so I'll save it. And then you know, I was in the media room in San Antonio. I wasn't really planning on being there. I was going to be in the green room. But the media room was right next to the green room. And I spent a lot of time on the media room, and mostly because I had a lot of the podcasters were, hey, can we interview you? I mean, they didn't know me from Adam, from Paul. They didn't know me at all. But I ended up doing about 15 different interviews. You know, that was great. You know, love to do that.
You know, and so great publicity for, like I said, you making the new constitution, like having everybody sign. I mean, it's great publicity.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the next idea for this group that wants me to do a document for them, I'm doing the I've done, actually, one I showed you, it's actually the Declaration of Independence, which is a little shorter document. So I tell the whole story of the Declaration as it goes through. And if I had to ask you, you know, John Hancock signed the Declaration. He didn't sign the Constitution. He signed the Declaration. But John Hancock, everybody remembers him. He's the first big signature on there.
Yeah.
And if you had to think today, who is the John Hancock of today? Somebody's signature that you would recognize instantly. Who would that be today? Well, about everybody's always had the same answer. Well, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that Greg Locke said. He goes, well, you know, five people that know Donald right now. I was like, you know, I never thought about that. But yeah, you're right. So I'm looking at getting Donald Trump's signature on the Declaration then.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
Yeah, to have him on there. And then if there's any other businesses that want to do the same thing for them, you know, where they all can sign it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we'll do that. You know, I got a local printer that's working with me that got the parchment paper in place and working on that. My wife just did scrolls for our church. They're pray scrolls that you can, you can put on your tree to actually make the tree something that honors God. They're beautiful scrolls. Yeah. And so we worked over the, you know, a couple of weekends putting that together. And, you know, putting the little knobs on it and, you know, making a scroll. And it was very fun. But those scrolls, I was like, you know, that it just means a lot to people, a lot more than we think sometimes.
Yeah.
That's what
it's the foundation of our nation. And it's a good reminder for people, like with how these documents have been just, I mean, just like raped from everything from the leftists and just completely torn down and just disgraced and just awful and stuff. And so it's good to have, like, I mean, it'd be cool to have like new documents and stuff to remind us originally what our founding fathers meant for this country, not what all these evil Luciferian Satanists have tried to make it into.
Well, at the, at the San Antonio event, there was a gentleman there. He was dressed up as as Alexander Hamilton, Alexander Hamilton. And he wrote the Federalist Papers, a good chunk of them. And well, what he's done is he's rewritten the Federalist Papers in today's language. And he's actually, he's built a whole program around it that actually you can get certified. So like, if you're going to run for office, you pass the Federalist 2.0 version. You've done, you've done the homework. So it separates you from the others. But we've been talking, going back and forth the last couple of, he lives in Texas, I think, outside of Austin. We've been talking to each other over the phone. He's a NASA scientist, a retired NASA scientist. He's worked on this for 13 years. It's like, well, I was just awakened on April 3rd of this year. So, you know, I guess he's done a little more than I have. But he wrote a whole program. He's got cartoons for kids, and it's an amazing program. So I'm working with a Patriot Academy right now to look at, can we make this a module within what they're doing?
I was going to say, that sounds like a good, like, curriculum, like, for kids to go through. That, like, sounds awesome. I would go through that. I'm like, I'm 22. I would go through that. Colleges need that.
I mean, absolutely. It can be done by, I think, any university, high school, middle school. I mean, anybody can benefit from this. Well, anyway, during our conversations, something else that kind of came on my mind was almost a second Declaration of Independence. Because we're looking at our country right now, that I fear that our country's going to split. You know, there's about 30 to 35 states that are leaning right, and about 20 that are leaning left. And and there probably will be a great separation, a divorce. You know, that's probably going to happen. So looking at a new declaration, so I'm starting to draft that. And then I don't know if you've seen the Archbishop from Italy. He had a document that came out the other day, a video.
I think I've heard of it. Yes.
Yeah. If not, I'll send that to you.
Okay.
This document, I mean, in literally a couple of pages, because I rewrote the whole thing after listening to it. I just drafted it so he could, you know, actually look at it.
See
it. And then I added bullet points that kind of put subtitles underneath it. And it's like, he's really framed up the next Declaration of Independence, because it was a God-inspired document. And you take a look at that. I mean, I looked at what I drafted. It's like, no, I'm just mimicking kind of what they did. I was like, no, 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 no. This has to be a God-inspired document. And I looked at what this what this Archbishop said, and I could see that the Pope would not say this. No, unfortunately, it should have came from the Pope, but this document addresses the mass, the fear, the injection, the election. I mean, it's unbelievable. Once you listen to it, I mean, I probably listened to it 15 times, you know, at least. Yeah. It's an amazing document. Why it doesn't have wider broadcast? I mean, every conservative ought to be listening to this right now. But anyway, we've reframed it up. So we're working on that document right now. It's like a, I guess, have it in the background, but the second Declaration of Independence. I hope we never have to use it. That's my prayer is we never use it. My fear is, you know, we probably will. You know?
Well, even if it's just not using it in like necessarily a legal sense, but using it in like a sense of bringing people together in unity and saying, we're declaring independence from these like leftists, the people who want to destroy this country. And like, we're declaring independence because we're going back to like the constitutional republic that we're supposed to be. Cause that's what the majority of Americans want. And it's a small percentage of people that want America to be destroyed, but because they are the ones that are at the forefront and scream the loudest, they're the ones that everybody thinks is the majority. And I'm like, no, the majority of people want America to be America. And I'm like, yeah.
They control the media. Yeah. They control the a lot of the judicial side. They control a lot of the politics. I mean, it's like the education. I mean, we've lost a lot of kids because of what they've done. It's like they can be, it can be turned around, but it's not going to be easy.
It'll be work.
A good program for them. You know, why are they doing this? Yeah. That's probably my main thing is just I'm sounding the alarm. I know there's others out there doing that too, but that's my job. Right now, that's my task is to sound the alarm.
Because the British are coming and by land. They're by land. They're here. And it's like, okay, we got to get them. It's like, get them out.
It's changed now. Now it's Washington is coming. I let people know it's one if by land, two if by sea. If you get COVID, ivermectin for thee.
I love that. That is so cute. I love that.
Which that is so really, good. Really good. Tough to rhyme with hydroxychloroquine. But
oh my gosh.
Was a little easier.
I know, yeah.
Yeah. And I've had the God's grace been able to help people with ivermectin that had COVID. And
yeah.
I think three times that I was able to help people out, it took, the worst was 36 hours before they were fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of them 12 hours, one of them 24, the other 36, and they were fine. And these people were at death's door. I mean, really, really low oxygen content. And that's something I try to tell people is those little finger readers, oxygen readers, make sure you have one, have a nebulizer. Make sure you got your vitamin D. And I'm like probably most Americans, I never tested for vitamin D. I went through a course with a web doctor about a year and a half ago. And she was talking about vitamin D as a super vitamin. And she's went through it. And she gave us a mathematical formula. How do you calculate how much do you take? I mean, how do you know? Mm-hmm. You take one tablet, two, three, four. Yep. How many do you take? And there's actually a mathematical issue you can go through. And you can calculate exactly what you need. And it's all done from that. And I never knew that. And vitamin C, for example. Yeah. I didn't know vitamin C has a shelf life. About a 4-hour shelf life in your body.
Okay.
Where vitamin D can be stored in your body. Vitamin C doesn't store. So it's got a 4-hour shelf life. So if you're taking 2,000 milligrams a day, well, break it up. Take it at least twice a day, if not three times a day.
Okay. Yeah. You know,
little basic things, but the vitamin D, for example, I mean, I've always been out, you know, been pretty outdoor person. I thought, well, more vitamin D, I'm sure I'm fine. Well, then I got tested and I was about a third of what I was supposed to be. So then I started taking vitamin D supplements, the correct amount with using that mathematical formula.
Yeah.
Calculated how much I needed. And within about probably 4 months, my level was fine, you know. When I did my annual blood test or 6-month blood test, I just said, hey, add vitamin D and B12. I want to know what those are.
Yeah.
So they just added to them. Oh, that's easy to do. Well, great. So you understand what those are. But man, people, right now that should not have any fear over COVID. It's highly treatable. And why they wait until you're really, really sick before you go into hospital? No, early treatment, guys.
Yeah.
Is there any other disease that we have that we wait until it's really, really bad?
Well, no. Of course, the big pharma isn't pushing that because they don't get money if people like have healthy lifestyles, have enough vitamins in their body, or making sure they're exercising well so their body's just healthy so that way can help fight off diseases. But of course, big pharma doesn't want that because, I mean, they won't get money if people do that. They want people to keep coming back in and stuff. So,
Pfizer just came out with their new daily dosage, an oral medication you can take. I think they should have named it Fibermectin, because I'm sure that's what it mostly is. Probably that and some vitamin D.
I haven't looked at what it is. I know that they just came out with it. I haven't even looked at what's it or what they say is in it. Truth be told, probably they're probably lying at what really is in it. They're lying about everything else stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not out to help you.
That's not their job. The good thing is Americans are waking up, and it's like, that's why I love, like, whenever I met you in like San Antonio, it was just so cool seeing the document that you were taking around and having everybody sign. And I'm like, it's so cool because Americans, a lot of them are still asleep, but they're starting to kind of rouse. It's like, they're starting to kind of go like, oh, what's been happening? So they're starting to waking up. They're just kind of coming out of that deep sleep mode. So, and people across the world are waking up to like the thing about, why are we fearful of this thing? Like, we got quote unquote vaccinated, but we're still having to be locked down. So, and they're like, we still have to wear masks. And it's like, people are actually starting to realize that this is ridiculous, which is good. So finally, but
yeah, you look at Australia, what's going on there? I was like, I feel so sorry for those people. Mm-hmm. I mean, unbelievable. That's a Western country.
They're getting ready to do it in New York. Cause I think I already heard they're starting to make, they're starting to put tents or something. I think they're talking about it, or they have already started putting up tents, I think like internment camp type thing. So they're talking about doing that in New York, which, I mean, it's not surprising, you know, New York, but yeah.
Oh, they're putting out that, I think it's in Australia. If you'll turn in people, the people that you can get a job now with the government, like 40,000 a year to turn in people that are unvaccinated. Really? I mean, how far does this go, guys?
Brother against brother. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've seen that before in this country. Yeah.
You know, and you look at the chip they're putting in fingers now over in Europe. It's like, guys, that's all in the Bible. Mm-hmm. All of this has been foretold, and we are following right in line with it.
Yep.
So it's like, are we in the end days? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But hey, good news. At the end of the book, we win.
Exactly. We already know how it ends. It's like, we're living out the pages, but it's like, God's already written the book and closed it and it's finished. We're just living out the rest of the pages. But like you said, spoiler alert, God wins in the end. So
quick summary I had was, is there any time darkness can overcome light?
Mm-mm. Nope.
No. Light always wins.
Yep.
If there's light.
Yes.
So right now, I mean, we are supposed to be the light into the world, you know, each of us. But I think from studies I've been doing lately, the first thing we have to do is take that light that's in us and shine it at us. Meaning we have to, you know, any sins we're committing, because all of us are sinful, we have to plead out that. We have to, you know, bear witness to that, what we're doing.
Yeah.
And then we can attract, as if we have a light coming out of us, how many people will be attracted to us? A lot more people. Will we get all of them? No. I wish we could, but we're not going to. So let's get the ones we can.
Yeah, because they look at us and see a difference, because all around them, they see darkness. But then it's like whenever you're in a room full of darkness and you see a light, everybody is naturally drawn to go towards the light. Which is ironic, because it's in us, even with our sinful nature. It's like, people are still, if you give them a room full of darkness, they can't see anything. If there's one little light, like a candle, they'll go towards that. Like probably 100, maybe not 100%, like 99.99999% of the time, they'll go towards that.
Right.
And that's.
Yeah. And that's, where does the light internal from you, does that light come out? Well, I think through your eyes. Mm-hmm. And through your mouth.
Yeah.
Are you smiling?
Yeah.
People are attracted to smiling people.
Yeah.
If you're frowning all the time, they don't want to be by you.
Yeah.
Well, if I put a mask on, that's half my light is gone.
I know. Yeah, they can't see if you're smiling or frowning or sticking your tongue out or whatever else.
In some places, they want you to wear a shield too. So it's like, so you're trying to block my light. Mm-hmm. Who tries to block out light?
Satan. Darkness. Yeah. Satan. Mm-hmm.
Satan. Mm-hmm. Like, guys, do you realize that?
Yeah.
We have to be the light into the world. We can't be the light into the world if we cover our face. We just can't do that. And that's, the left doesn't understand that. I hope they will, but most of them won't.
Yeah. But the good thing is we got a lot of patriots like you and me and all the people in the reawakeners and all that. It's like that we're waking people up and it's like, cause we ain't doing this.
Right.
Nope. Thanks so much for coming on, Greg. I'll definitely have you back on. Cause I'm really excited whenever you guys got like the production of like the documents and stuff started. Cause I'm really excited. I'm like, I'm definitely going to get me one. I'm like, I'm excited.
Hello, fellow patriots, and thank you all so much for watching today's episode. I would also like to thank the sponsor of this episode today, MyPillow. Mike Lindell is a genius in many, many areas, and his products are absolutely no exception. Mattress toppers, sheets, slippers, bath towels, and of course pillows are just a few of his many products that you can find at MyPillow.com. When you use promo code Hannah, you can get up to 66% off of all his amazing line of products. My bedroom personally is absolutely filled with all kinds of his products, and my dog Katie absolutely loves her MyPillow dog bed. Well, at least when my kitty Demi isn't stealing Katie's spot on it. There are so many amazing patriot businesses out in America today, and we all need to support them so that together we can all defund the deep state and refund the kingdom. Until next time, this is your friendly neighborhood patriot Hannah signing off and saying, remember, stay encouraged. Thank you for watching The Red Patriot Show. To find more of my content, resources, and where you can find all of my video platforms, as well as all the social media outlets I use, go to www.theredpatriotshow.com. That's www.theredpatriotshow.com. See y'all later.